Wide Group invites all AEC industry leaders to the 2024 AEC Small Business and Entrepreneurship Forum, the premier event for small firms in the AEC sector. Experience innovative strategies and insights on May 21st, crafted by Zweig Group's industry experts. Engage in keynotes and interactive sessions focused on recruitment, retention, and business growth. Join Zweig Group for this unique networking opportunity and take your business to new heights. Secure your spot today and be part of the AEC industry's future. Visit zweiggroup.com for more information. The Zweig Group team looks forward to welcoming you.
Welcome to the Zweig Letter Podcast, putting architectural, engineering, planning, and environmental consulting advice and guidance in your ear. Zweig Group's team of experts have spent more than three decades elevating the industry by helping AEP and environmental consulting firms thrive. And these podcasts deliver invaluable management, industry, client, marketing, and HR advice directly to you, free of charge. The Zweig Letter Podcasts, elevating the design industry one episode at a time.
Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of the Zweig Letter Podcast. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn, and I'm excited to be with you as always. We have a great guest today, and we've actually looked to the internal workings of Zweig Group to twist somebody's arm and force them to come on the podcast. Well, we didn't actually do that, but we did ask this individual and we went back and forth until we found a time that was appropriate. And that seems to be today. And without further ado, I want to welcome Luke Carruthers on the Zweig Letter Podcast. I believe this is his first time on the podcast. Luke is the senior content manager for Zweig Group, and he's also the editor-in-chief of, I like to call it C+S, but it's Civil Plus Structural Magazine. And Luke, it's great to have you on the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for having me, Randy. It's nice to be on this side of the podcast. It's a nice listen for me when I'm traveling for work. So it's going to be weird to hear my own voice on it, but happy to be here.
It's a long time coming, man. Have you been on another podcast by any chance? Or
I have not. I have over a decade ago. I had some friends in college and I had a podcast about some paranormal mysteries, but thankfully that doesn't exist to the light of day.
Yes. So, right. Exactly. It's out there in the digital universe somewhere. So, but that's awesome. So for our listeners, just tell them a little bit about you and your background, how you ended up at Zweig, and a little bit of the work that you do before we get into some of the cool things that you've covered since you joined the company.
Yeah, absolutely. And so my background is not in AEC. My undergraduate degree is in English. My master's degree from the University of Arkansas is in English and Cultural Studies. So I'm a writer by trade. Have been since I was a really little kid. And through adulthood, I've been lucky enough to make a career out of it. But I started working for Zweig Group 5 years ago now. I joined as the editor for Civil and Structural Engineer magazine. They were without an editor at the time. And I really, since taking the position, have immersed myself in the world of AEC. I very quickly came to realize that it's more than pretty buildings and big buildings. It's the spaces that people live their lives in. And I think this industry has a tremendous responsibility. So it was thrilling for me to kind of learn that and develop that sense about myself.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And I've always said it, and I say it, I will say it until I'm blue in the face. This is an industry that has done amazing work, and they're not feted enough, right? And they're not given the accolades and acknowledgement as much as they should. And on top of all that, most engineers and architects that I run across are very low key and reserved. So they're not going to be out there really braggadocious. I mean, there are a few, but you don't find that many. And so I think it's always good to celebrate folks that do really great work. And certainly working in this industry as you know, for the period of time that you have, and as long as I have, you come to appreciate the level of excellence that you see on a, and get to witness on a regular basis.
Yeah. And like I said, it's opened my eyes. And like you mentioned, most engineers are low key and reserved, and that's maybe generalizing, but their skills lie in creating these spaces and these infrastructure projects and not talking about them. And I've found a very, I think, good niche in that I can connect those threads and kind of draw those larger stories out of these projects.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I mean, and you've had a chance over the last 5 years to really cut your teeth on a wide variety of projects. Give us a little bit of the scope of your work as content manager at Zwei Group.
Yeah. And so the scope of the magazine is kind of bigger than civil and structural engineer, right? So Zwei Group deals with everything AEC. And in the same way, civil and structural engineer talks to practicing engineers throughout the AEC industry. I describe it kind of simply as everything that touches civil and structural engineering, which is another thing that I've learned in my past 5 years writing about the industry, is that everything is connected. Teams have to work together. They have to collaborate to create spaces. So I kind of, that connection between business practices and building practices is kind of where I kind of see myself.
Okay. Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's funny when you mentioned the whole thing about the C++ and, you know, civil and structural, you sometimes think, oh, well, it stops kind of at the consulting piece of it, right? But then there is the materials and the manufacturing that play a part in that, right? And because they need equipment, they need materials to do whatever they design, they need materials and equipment for it. And there is typically some manufacturing on the back end as well. So, I mean, there are so many industries that touch this space that we call AEC. And it's kind of interesting. And I know for the longest time, we used to kind of, I guess, separate them, right, into silos. And now it's like, it's, you kind of look at it as all as one big conglomerate of industry, of verticals that are all part of a bigger picture of this whole, the designed world that we see on a daily basis.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. And I think for the longest time for AEC professionals, there was the tendency to say, okay, well, I am just a steel structure designer or something very specific. And now as we have more collaborative tools and more tools to create digital space and represent projects in the digital space, we're seeing less of that direct specialization and more of, like you said, that the vertical spaces that overlap with one another.
Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely cool. So 5 years is a long time, and it seems like just yesterday you started at the company, but it's been half a decade. So tell us about, you know, one or two of the highlights that you've gotten to experience with regard to, you know, covering this industry from a content perspective.
Yeah, well, from a content perspective, I think far and away my biggest highlight would be getting the chance to go to Cairo this past September. I've been writing about the Cairo monorail project, which started in 2020. It's scheduled to be the world's longest monorail system when it's completed. I think 96 kilometers across the Cairo governorate. And I had been writing about that project for some time. And this past year, I was given the opportunity to go over and actually visit the project and speak with the engineers and the workers working on the project. So I traveled to Cairo in September, and I got to tour the ongoing monorail construction project, and as well as the Grand Egyptian Museum. And I had not done any international travel prior to that. And so the amount that changed my perspective is something that I'll be thankful for forever. I learned things that a kid from Columbus, Ohio probably wouldn't learn in a million years. And on top of that, I got to see a project that's changing a place that has been lived in for thousands of years. So that's probably my biggest highlight this last year, was going to Cairo. But I also got to interview the world's first water leak detection dog. And that was just a few months after I started, in, I think, maybe February of 2020, right before COVID kind of took over. But getting to interview a dog and its trainer was very unique. And it was right down the road in Little Rock. So it was a very cool experience.
So wait a minute. Okay, I got to back up here. So I've got questions about the water leak detection dog, but I first want to go back to Cairo because as I'm familiar with the company that I know you met with there, and we've actually had the CEO of that company, Ralph Ghali, on the podcast a couple of years ago during the pandemic. And I don't know that they're the only company that's working on this project, obviously, as big as it is. But I'd be curious to know, what was their biggest challenge on that monorail? Because that was the first thing that came to mind when you started talking about the monorail in Cairo, in Egypt, period. It's just like, man, that is such an old country. I mean, when you think about, like, I'm thinking about Cleopatra, I'm going way back, right? And I'm thinking about, how did they build, or are they building, a monorail with all of that historical architecture around surrounding it? Is that's got to be one of the biggest challenges that these design professionals are facing when dealing with this project.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, that was one of the biggest questions I have, is I had when I was first writing the project, is why a monorail? And it ties exactly into what you're saying. When you go and see it, it's sitting on a raised concrete guideway that's, I can't remember the exact feet, but it's high above the surface. And the reason is, on top of staying away from shifting desert sands, is it minimizes the impact, because like you said, there's every inch of the ground is covered with something in antiquity. So they had to make decisions like raising the concrete, or raising the project to be a monorail, simply because it minimized the impact on the ground level. And then for the project, I mean, it started in September 2020. So COVID had already started, but they've had pretty, I wouldn't say ongoing, but they've had challenge with things like material sourcing and supply chain issues, just like every other project. But one of the big challenges, particularly west of the Nile, is utility access and electricity access. The electrical grid and the utility grid is focused in kind of odd arrays based on the development of people over time. And so there's been kind of challenges in getting access to those utilities and those electricity. But I think the last I checked, the project is, I think it's around, at least for the east of the Nile, is around 90% completion. And then west of the Nile, I think, is around 60.
Wow, that's exciting. Well, that's going to be interesting. So are there parts of the monorail that are currently operating right now?
There are not. They're currently running a few tests. I think they've had the opportunity to maybe run one or two track tests.
Okay.
But they have installed all the, for the east of the Nile line, they are days away from starting full testing. They have all the train sets delivered and the signaling equipment installed. I believe they're waiting for a few final things in terms of like the go ahead from the electrical authority. But
that's exciting. Do they do assessments in terms of what percentage of the population will potentially use this monorail?
So they haven't, I haven't gotten any access to specifically how many people will use it, but speaking to people that lived in Cairo, so in the Cairo government, so outside of Cairo, there's the new administrative capital, which has come up in the last few decades after the revolution. The new administrative capital was established, as well as the sixth, and that's east of Cairo. And then the 6th of October city was established west of Cairo. So these are completely new buildings, or completely new cities. And in particular to the new administrative capital, this is the new functioning head of the Egyptian government. There's every ministry is there. So in order to get people to live and work in those spaces, they need access through things like the monorail. So in order for something like the new administrative capital to work as a new city, and it's beautiful, it's almost completely built out, in order for that to function in the way they need it to, this monorail is going to be crucial for that.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, when I read the article, I was just like, wow, this is interesting. And I was like, man, that was a very, very fortunate trip that you got to go on and experience that and kind of see it up close and personal. And it just gives you a totally different perspective as a creator and as a writer, I would imagine.
Yeah. And it's hard not to be inspired in Egypt. I dreamed of going there as a kid, and there's something inspiring about not only being in such a place that has such a special history, but in a place that's not afraid to try these huge infrastructure projects. There's ambitious is a nice term or a mild term for this project, but it's happening and it's going through, and it's inspiring to see the kind of process that it's gone through.
Yeah, that's exciting, man. That's exciting. Well, I will certainly link that article in the show notes for this episode, because I think people need to, if they've read it once, they may need to reread it again, and maybe they'll appreciate it more after some of the stories that you've just told about it and shared. I really appreciate that. And then for those of you that have not read the article, you need to see it. I mean, Luke's a really good writer, and he really, it felt like he had his finger on the pulse of what was happening there on the ground in Cairo and beyond. And so I certainly encourage our listeners to check out that article, and we'll link to it in the show notes. So now about this dog.
Vessel.
Vessel, is that the dog's name?
That is the dog's name.
I love that. I love that. That's a very strong name. Vessel is a water leak detection dog. First of its kind. Is that the case?
Yeah, first in the entire world.
Wow. Now, so how did they teach this dog to detect leaks?
So from the dog trainers that I spoke to, it's not that hard, because dogs are incredibly smart, and not that hard is a relative term. So each water treatment facility has a specific set of chemicals that they use to treat their water that will be in a trace amount released as a gas form. And so they've trained dogs to smell this specific leak. And that's an incredibly powerful tool, because when a water line is buried 40 feet down in a hillside, it's hard to see it, even with tools like drones using mapping and things like that. They're still not effective as a dog with its sniffing sense.
Man, that's amazing. So are the people that trained Vessel, are they training other dogs?
They are. So okay. I will say, so Vessel has a special story. So Vessel started out as, I can't remember the name of the TV show, but Vessel was a rescue that was featured on TV in a show, and then ended up as a part of the Arkansas Paws in Prison program, where inmates are bonded with the dog, and they teach them commands, and they teach them they train them very well, and they form a great bond. And then these dogs are able, when they graduate, to become working dogs sometimes. And Vessel was identified as a dog that was very task driven and wanted to please whatever task and wanted to figure out whatever puzzle it was given. So they began training it to search for water leaks. And I believe, so when I was there, this was 4 years ago, and we haven't gotten a chance to check in because of COVID and the pause in prison situation with not being able to go into prisons because of COVID. But there was a second dog that was Vessel's, I don't think it was Vessel's brother, but they were calling it Vessel's brother, that was named Gage. So it was Vessel and Gage were the two dogs that were being trained, and there were more that were being trained as well.
I love that. I love that. So Gage is like Vessel's understudy.
Yeah.
In the world of water leak detection. So
yeah, Gage was a complete surprise. We showing up, we did not know we were going to get to see Gage.
Oh, that's very cool. So you wrote an article about this.
Yes, it was, I think, February or March 2020.
We'll link to that article as well, man. That's exciting to be able to experience that. And again, it just shows you how I talk to firms all the time in the design industry space, and many of which I talked to while I was working with Zweig. And Zweig was the reason why I was exposed to so many firms. I was always amazed at the variety of services that these firms offered, right? You know, and I'm thinking of like, and I'll just throw a firm out there like an LJA that has traditional civil engineering. They've got geotechnical. They've got water, wastewater. They even have somebody that works on water erosion that you experience in the beaches. And I mean, when you think of just the breadth of services that a lot of design firms offer, and you know, sometimes you get to connect with firms that they do one thing. They do one thing and they do it really well. It might be structural. It might be small to medium sized buildings, mixed use. Then you might run into a company that all they do is a certain type of landscape architecture work. And that's the beauty of this industry. And I'm sure you've seen it in the last 5 years that you've got to experience it, is that there's just such a wide variety of services and offerings out there that are available to the buying public that needs those services.
Yeah. And that's one of the, I think, the blessings of my job is as someone that has editorial space to offer, that's my currency. As someone that has that, I get to approach firms and say, hey, what are you doing that you're proud of? What is your new thing or your new endeavor that's showing positive results? And they get to return that to me. So in doing that, I get to see what is most exciting. And like you said, all these new kind of expanding services that firms get to offer.
Yeah. So I would imagine, I mean, are you spending more time seeking out firms, or are firms coming to you to say, hey, we're working on these cool projects or this type of work, and we'd love to talk with you more about it? Or is it a combination of the two?
It's a combination of the two. When I first started out in this role, it was a lot of legwork and kind of going through information pages on firms' websites to get to the right people. But at this point, it's a fair balance where we have a really wide reach with our audience as well as Zweig's audience and the Zweig Letter audience. So just with that reach, new people will always find our editorial calendar and our media kit, and they'll reach out to me. And that's something that I would love to increase that reach as much as possible, because I welcome those conversations. It's really an exciting part of my day, hearing what new firms are doing and hearing about projects in new places.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm 100% behind you. So just so that our audience understands the difference, the Zweig Letter newsletter has been out since like 92. I mean, Mark's been writing that thing for a long time. And then obviously, you know, so many other people have taken it up, and it's like, I want to say he's had the longest byline for a writer of a newsletter. And, you know, I'm pretty impressed, and he just keeps cranking out new articles every week. But what would you say there's obviously a difference between the audience directly reading C++S versus the audience that's reading the Zweig Letter newsletter? How would you articulate that just for our listeners so they have a better understanding? I personally think they should read both, but just what are your thoughts about that as somebody that's, you know, you're right on top of it?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I have a lot of catchy slogans that go along with this, but I'll share them.
I'll start using them. You'll hear them over and over again. So,
all right. So my big one is boardroom to building site. So we have TZL, which Sarah Parkman has been running from before my time with Zweig, and she does a wonderful job. And the questions are mostly pertaining to leadership level discussions. Even if they're talking about the individual, they're talking about how it functions as a part of the firm. But on the C++S side, we still have some of that audience, but the much larger portion of it is engineers that are still working on projects. But for me, that's the leaders of the future. So it's the same audience, but for me, as our audience kind of moves up from the position of maybe project engineer or mechanical engineer, they move up into a leadership position within a firm. That's kind of where I see our audience kind of splitting.
Yeah. And do you have some of the materials and manufacturing folks that have gravitated towards the C++S space in terms of your readership there? Do you see some more than others?
So yeah, we do. Materials particularly, like something like with mass timber as a material, much of the material production process coincides with the structural engineering. For example, I was writing about the Wisdom project at, I think it's the Stockholm Museum of Sciences, and it's mass timber material, which was produced flat at the facility and delivered to the site and then bent and twisted into the shape that they needed. So the material manufacturer had to work with the structural engineers to make sure that as they're bending these pieces, that they're going to maintain their shape and that they're going into the right position. So I think as new materials develop, those kind of material people have to interact with civil and structural engineers to ensure that those materials can be used correctly.
Yeah. There's so much great information out there. As I'm listening to you talk about that, I can remember learning about the first all wood high school built. It was actually built in El Dorado, Arkansas. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but there is a high school down there that was just recently built. to a high degree. It was engineered and built and designed right down there. And it's I believe it's made of all wood, and it's the first of its kind in the U.S. And it's got a high rating. I want to say it's LEED certified building. And so it's interesting. But I usually get really excited when I hear stuff like that, or like net zero buildings. When you see what they're capable and able to do nowadays, I think it's just a matter of time, or maybe we're just a few decades away from everything having kind of like a zero footprint when it comes to energy usage as these buildings get designed in the future. And so it's going to be exciting, and I'm going to be looking forward to hearing you tell some of those stories in upcoming issues of both the newsletter and of C+S.
Yeah, and those kind of, I like that you mentioned that view of the future, because I'm incredibly romantic about the future, and I see these projects. I'm not familiar with the one you were talking about in El Dorado.
I'll send you a link to it. So
yeah, I need to check that out. But to me, I see these projects happening more and more frequently, and more people on board with net zero initiatives and carbon neutral by 2050. Those are moving from debates to actualized concrete things as these projects come online. So to me, I'm very excited for the future of where the AEC industry is heading.
Yeah, no, it is exciting times, that's for sure. And man, I'm so glad that you are here doing what you're doing at Zweig Group, especially with C+S, and certainly working along, well, I call her Sparkman, but as working along with Sarah Parkman for the Zweig Letter newsletter, which has a real soft spot in my heart, because that has existed since I began in this industry back in 97 or beyond that, obviously. But it's just nice to see something that has the long standing to be relevant today as much as it was in 92 when it first started. So you guys are controlling a really big mantle there. And as Chad Kleinens always says, a rising tide lifts all ships. And so I certainly appreciate all the work that you're doing. And if people want to reach out to you, or if somebody's like, man, that Luke sounds so interesting, I've got a great story idea for him, or I've got something he needs to do a little bit more investigation of, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
They can reach out to me by email.
Okay.
Instead of me reading out my email, maybe you can link it in the show notes. But my email is open at any time. Sure. I welcome those conversations. Like I said, I love finding the threads and connecting the things that are connecting the larger trends that are kind of elevating the industry, for no better words. And so those conversations are what I thrive on. So I usually function through email just because it's the easiest, but that's just a way to set up a phone call or a Zoom interview anyway.
Yeah. And we'll put Luke's email in the show notes so everybody has that. And certainly you can go to the show notes. You can get the show notes at Zweig Group and just click on the link for the Zweig Letter podcast. There's a whole section there under the media, and you can get that information for this particular episode. And it will also be on your portable player. If you're looking at that, as you scroll down and look at the notes from this episode in the show notes there, you will also see Luke's email there as well. So I encourage you to take advantage of that. And if you do, and you reach out to him because of this podcast, let him know, hey, I heard your wonderful voice on the Zweig Letter podcast, and you know, I want to talk with you about some ideas that I have. So I'm sure Luke will appreciate that.
Yeah, that'd be very much appreciated. And I really appreciate you having me on today.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. It was a long time coming, but some things are, you know, some things take time, right? And when they finally happen, it's really worthwhile. So Luke Carruthers, I really appreciate you. Luke, again, is the senior content manager at Zweig Group. He's also the editor-in-chief of C+S magazine, a civil plus structural magazine. It's an amazing magazine. You should certainly subscribe to that magazine. Should also subscribe to the Zweig Letter newsletter, which comes out every Monday, rain or shine. And you can get that newsletter right in your email inbox as a PDF. And more importantly, if you are a growing firm and you really want to keep your people on the cusp of all the cool things that are happening out there in our space, and especially get advanced notification of when all the cool stuff that Luke is investigating and taking a look at, you need to subscribe your whole company to the Zweig Letter. Am I right, Luke?
You are very correct. And you said it way better than I could. I appreciate using your platform for it.
Absolutely, man. No, it's our platform, man. But no, absolutely. Yeah, I just encourage
your voice.
I encourage people to definitely subscribe to the Zweig Letter newsletter. And we have a way where we can just share with us an email list, and we can set everybody in your company up so that they get it. Because I got to say, in this day and age, there's always going to be new information. But, you can't guarantee that your people are getting the best information. With the Zweig Letter newsletter, with C+S, they are getting fully vetted, high quality information that has stood the test of time. And so I really want to encourage you to take advantage of that. Okay, I'm off my soapbox now. You get the picture. You'll hear about it later as we close out this episode. But Luke Carruthers, thanks again, man. I really, really appreciate you. And we will have you back, because I know that you're going to have some more interesting stories to share with us in the future. But thanks again for coming on this episode of the Zweig Letter podcast. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. And thanks again for having me. And I was going to say, hopefully the floodgates are open. I'm happy to be on anytime.
Yes. Yes. The floodgates will be open. And we may need Vessel to do some research on those floodgates, but I'm sure he'll be able to do the job. So, but thanks again, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it, folks. Another episode of the Zweig Letter podcast. I appreciate it. Again, remember, to find out more about Zweig Group, visit us at www.zweiggroup.com. You can check out the newsletter. You can subscribe to C+S there. You can learn about all the advisory services that Zweig Group offers. And we have some amazing programs happening this spring of 2024 and beyond. But even if you're listening to this a year from now, 2 years from now, there'll still be great programs happening. So just click on the little events tab at the top and check that out. And of course, we have our Elevate AEC conference every year. And that conference is amazing. In 2024, it will be in Tampa Bay, Florida. Certainly want to encourage you to avail yourselves of that. That's where we do our Hot Firm event, Best Firm to Work For awards, and all the amazing awards that we give out in this industry to acknowledge all the great work that you design professionals are doing on a daily basis. So if I haven't told you once today, I really appreciate the work that you do for the built environment. Without you, I wouldn't be able to drive down the roads that I drive down, take my kids to school. I wouldn't be able to go up into the elevators in the buildings that I go to. I wouldn't have the building that I'm in where my office is. So listen, you guys do more than you know to make this world a better place. So thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. I'm Randy Wilburn, the host of the Zweig Letter podcast. We'll see you back here soon with another new episode. Remember, you can find us on all major platforms. Check us out, follow us, and also rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform of choice. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to the Zweig Letter podcast. We hope that you can be part of elevating the industry, and that you can apply our advice and information to your daily professional life. For a free digital subscription to The Zweig Letter, please visit thezweigletter.com/subscribe to gain more wisdom and inspiration, in addition to information about leadership, finance, HR, and marketing your firm. Subscribe today.